famous British bishop, theologian and author, and he's quite a wonderful man as well. His name is N.T. Wright, and he wrote about the Gospel of John. He's saying this: "This book is like a pool that's safe for a child to paddle in, but deep enough for an elephant to swim in. But though it's imposing in its structure and ideas, it's not meant to scare you off. It makes you welcome." Millions of people have found that as they start to examine this book, the friend above all friends is coming out to meet them. I would like to picture, if you would, an image that this book, the Gospel of John, has a long driveway that takes you off the main road. You got that image? Okay? And it's showing you something about the place you're heading toward before you even get there. See, the beginning of the Gospel of John tells us so much about what's ahead of us before we even get to the main part. It's my favorite book in all of the Bible, in all of the New Testament. It's almost as though this long driveway has large signs with pictures of the marvelous rooms that you'll find in the house and the people you're going to meet there. This gospel reading is important at Christmas time, even though it isn't only about the birth of Jesus Christ, but about everything he was and is and did. The more that we explore the Gospel of John, the more we're going to discover what a complete introduction John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18 is. And now, continuing on with that image of the driveway, you still got that, right? It's a long driveway. By the way, if you're in Georgia, if from Georgia, it's a dirt road. Many of you can resemble that, right? Now, continuing with that image, there's a gate. And it's capped by the unforgettable opening words: "In the beginning was the Word." Right away, it sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't it? In the beginning. And it lets us know, anybody who has opened a Bible, that this is beginning just like the start of the first book of the Torah, the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, through the Apostle John, wants us to see that his book has the story of God and the world and is much bigger than just the story of one person in one place at one time. This book is about the Creator God acting in a very new way within his much-loved creation. It's about the way in which the long story, which began in Genesis and continued up through these events, reached the culmination that God has always intended, and he will do through the Word. In Genesis 1, the high point of creation is the sixth day. Why, you ask? That's when God created humanity in his image. In John 1, the high point is the arrival of a human being. The Word becomes flesh. And when you think about speaking a word, it in its sense is a part of you. It's a breath that comes from inside you, making the noise that you give it with your throat, your mouth, and your tongue. And when that word is heard, we hope they hear it just as you intended. "But you said," people might comment, if our actions don't match up with our words. We're responsible for the words we say. And when you think about it, our words have a life which is independent of us. When people hear them, words can change the way you think and live. When people hear them, words can change an image. Think of the words, "I love you," or "Come on, it's time to go," or the infamous, "You're fired." What do you think of when you hear "you're fired"? I know. That old TV show with that old president? When you hear the words, I can't believe he did that. Did you hear that this morning? I left just before the readings, and I said, I can't believe he did that. And I just wanted to know if you heard it. Anybody hear it? The mic was on, and I did it purposely because I wanted to see if you caught it. Nobody did anything. I just wanted to throw that out there, knowing that I was going to be talking about words. You see, words remain in our memory, and people react according to them. Our words carry weight and consequences, good or bad. So we should watch what we say and who we say it to. In the Old Testament, God acts by means of his word. What he says happens in Genesis. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, says Psalm 33:6. God's word is the one thing that will last, even though people and plants wither and die. Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. They're probably pretty familiar to you. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. God's word will go out of his mouth and bring life, healing and hope to Israel and the whole creation. That's Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Now, when I attended Trinity School for Ministry, my seminary, from 2002 until 2005, I almost immediately was confronted with people talking about the Logos. And I was like, huh? What's the Logos? Here I was, this kid from New York, who had lived in Jacksonville for 9 years and then was suddenly transplanted to Pittsburgh to go to seminary along with my family for 3 years. And I was one of the oldest people in my class. And all these kids are walking around talking about the Logos. And I'm like, okay. So I had to do some checking. Now, see, it's a Greek word for word. And I never knew up to that point that the language of the New Testament was Greek. I found out real quick when I had to study Greek for 4 semesters. And it was the written word of that time period, all because of the Greeks who took over a lot of the world and then was taken over by the Romans, but the written word was Greek. You remember Alexander the Great. And Logos, or the word of God, the principle of divine reason and creative order, was identified in John's gospel with the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. That's part of what lies behind John's choice of word here. Here's a way of telling us all who Jesus really is. And John probably expects some readers to see about Jesus what some writers had said about wisdom in the Old Testament. In the time of Jesus, many Hebrew scholars discussed how can the one true God be both different from the world and active within the world? It's a good question. Some had already combined that with the belief that the one true God had promised to place his own presence within the temple at Jerusalem. And others saw them enshrined in the law, the Torah. All of this comes together when John writes of God's word. John is saying to all the thinkers that the word isn't an abstract principle, it's a person. And I'm going to introduce you to him. I want you to listen to verses 1, 2, and 18 from today's Holy Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And now we'll fast forward to verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who was at the Father's side, has made him known. This image that we're given of the Word is intimately close to God. And John goes where no one ever went before, because Jesus makes him do it. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. He became human, became one of us. Even worse, he came as a baby. which meant he couldn't do anything for himself. If he wanted anything, he had to cry just like any other baby. And mom had to change him. They had to be his parents had to be taking care of him. We know that he grew to be Jesus of Nazareth, whose birth we just celebrated at Christmas, and we celebrate today as well. The theme and purpose of the Gospel of John is pretty clear to me. If you want to know who the true God is, take a long, hard look at one person, Jesus. The one that we know as Jesus is identical, is the Logos, is the Word, who was there from the very start. The Word through whom all things were made. The one who contained and contains life and light. The Word challenged the darkness before creation and now challenges the darkness still that is found within creation itself. The Word is bringing into being the new creation in which God sends once more, let there be light. But when God sent his Word into the world pretends it doesn't recognize him. Who? I don't want to talk about Jesus. No, that's a dirty word. When God sends the Word specifically to Israel, the chosen people don't recognize him. Jesus comes to God's own people, and God's people do what the rest of the world do. They prefer darkness to light. It's because of humanity's preference that new grace is needed on top of the grace that was already given in the law, given to Moses. Hear these words from today's Holy Gospel, from the 16th verse of chapter 1. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Grace is something that we don't ask for. It's a gift, and we don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. The law points people in the right direction, but like Moses himself, it doesn't take us to the promised land. For that, you need the grace and truth that comes only through Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who said on the night before he died, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know what I find exciting? It's that in this first part of John's Gospel, it's that we're in it too. Verses 12 and 13 from today's Gospel, which Deacon Bob read to us. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That means anyone at all, way back then and now. You don't have to be born into a particular family or part of the world. God wants people from everywhere to be born in a new way, born into his family, which he began through Jesus and which has since spread throughout the world. Anyone, and I mean anyone, can become a child of God, which goes beyond the fact that all humans are special in God's sight. Something can happen in this life which causes them to become new people, or as Paul says, a new creation, just by believing in his name. Now, throughout John's Gospel, we can see, if you make it a resolution for your new year, to read it, going forward into the great building along that driveway that we were talking about, the great drama of God and the world, of Jesus and Israel, and of the Word who reveals the glory of the unseen God, that this is for everyone, not just the chosen few, but you and me included. And that's good news. And as we make our way up this driveway towards the main building, a figure comes into view. He turns and looks and points to the house. Verses 19 and 20, which are right after today's Holy Gospel, tell us that he isn't the man that we want, But his job is to point us to him. Now, this was John's testimony, John the Baptist's testimony, when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. "I am not the Christ," he said. He's giving evidence about the light. If we're to meet the Word of God himself, we can start in the new year or even today by starting to read the Gospel of John. And you know what? It's a good place to start. In the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.